Thanks, Don, for praying for me. I've been praying for you guys, too, as well, that we would just really hear God's word this morning. But before I read the text today, which is, we've been doing a series in John called The Word. And we've been in John 3, and today's text is John 3, 31 to 36. But I want to tell you two stories before we get into the text. First story is about this dude who owns some real estate. And he invested some time and money to prepare the land so that it would be productive. And all that he asked was, when he leased it out to these farmers, that they would repay him by giving him a portion of what the land produced. Pretty fair situation. Well, it came harvest time, and the landowner sent a servant to collect what was due. And they beat the guy up. Landowner heard about this, and he was pretty ticked. So he sent another servant. They beat him up, sent another servant. They not only beat him up, they killed him. So the landowner said, "I will send my son. Surely they will respect him and not do anything about it." So the son left to collect payment for the land and the produce. When the farmers heard about this, they said, "This is the guy who's going to inherit this land. Let's kill him, and then we'll have it for ourselves." And they did. And when the father, the landowner, heard about that, he came and said, "Surely I will come and destroy you." Powerful story. But now I want to tell you a true one. There was another person who owned a huge portion of land. As a matter of fact, this land had ocean view on every side of it. And those who inhabited this land, the owner said, "Here's what I want you to do." Wasn't looking for real produce to have in storage. He says, "Here's what I want you to produce. I want you to produce righteousness. I want you to produce glory to me, for I am worthy of your worship. I want you to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. I want you to love each other." You know the story I'm talking about. Sin entered this property of the Most High God, and it contaminated everything. Love God and others. The first person born killed the second person who was born. That's how long that lasted. So God looked around, and he saw how wicked the earth was, and he says, "That's it. I'm ending all people on the earth, except for one man and his family." Grace fell upon Noah. But then, after more inhabitants began from his children, the earth became wicked again. God said, "I'm going to have another servant come, and out of him I'm going to create a great nation." And Israel was born from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they too became disobedient and wicked. And God allowed them to be in slavery in Egypt. And he raised up another servant, coming to free them and warn them, "Worship me, love me, I am worthy of it. And you will benefit muchly by it." They chose not to do that and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, not having the promised land that they were to inherit by this God who was good and gracious. Then Joshua took them into the land of promise. It was good for a while, but that didn't last. Fightings came among them. They began to worship other gods. God said, "I'll send some more servants. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, I'm going to tell you You don't stop it, you're going into exile. They didn't stop it. And off they went. But I'll bring you back to the land because I'm a loving God. I'll give you another chance. Brought him back through Ezra and Nehemiah. Wasn't long before then that God needed to send other prophets, servants. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Obadiah, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. 400 years of silence. You think God would be frustrated, but he had a plan. We get to John 3, John 1, John 2. I'm going to send you a prophet like no other. He's going to come out of the wilderness, and he's going to be a voice to tell you about this one who's coming. You know what they did to that prophet? They cut off his head. But now the Son is on the scene. I want you to turn to John 3 and let me read this portion from 31 to 36. This is the one who is here. This is the one who has inherited everything, the Son. And here's what God tells us through John. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. All the prophets prior to this were speaking from the earth, from God, but this one is from heaven. The one who comes from heaven is above all. That's our message today. Jesus is above all. I thought about mentioning or giving it a title this way because the title of our series is The Word. I was thinking about this title. This Jesus is the final word. There is no other. Nothing else is going to come and speak for God except his people who love and follow him because they're his witnesses. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, and he's seen heaven. All these other guys haven't. But no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God for God. And for God gives him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Here's the final word. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life, and the wrath of God abides on him. You unpack that a little bit, and the first phrase is hopeful. If I have Jesus, I no longer have God's wrath. If I don't have Jesus, and I'm going to tell you what that means in a minute, then the wrath of God remains on me. Here's how I interpret that. When we are born into the human race with sin, the wrath of God is upon every human being. But it doesn't have to remain. Through Christ, God's wrath can be removed. Why? Because they killed the Son. But God knew that in the plan. And the plan was, this Son would be the payment for my wretchedness. And if by faith I depend on what Jesus did on the cross, if I recognize I am a sinner under God's wrath, But Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient. It was enough. And I say, Lord, forgive me of my sins based on what Christ did. Lord, I receive Christ, as we learn in 1 John 1:12. As many as receive him, to them he gives the right to become the children of the sons of God. Then God's wrath is removed from me because it was placed on his son, Jesus, at the cross. A sobering message for you and I. If you have never come to the place where you have recognized in this life you're a sinner under the wrath of God, and you walk out today and something tragically happens, you will go into eternity under the wrath of God. But it does not have to be. Jesus is offering this sacrifice. We, his church, are telling or speaking on his behalf. You do not have to die in your sins. You do not have to be under the wrath of God. Jesus took care of that. But I'll tell you, my friends, and this is what we pray for, whether it's concert or prayer or Sunday morning prayer, we want people to know they do not have to be under the wrath of God. There is a free gift by grace that is paid for in Jesus Christ, God's Son. Time's running out. It's interesting, today, Luanne and I, on our alarm clock, is the TV. Comes on at 4:45, and it's usually the news, because the news wakes me up. And it's not always good news. Well, today, because we know there's no news on Sunday, we turn it to the Weather Channel, because my wife's a weather nut. She loves the weather. She would be a meteorologist if she could. I'm not letting her go to school for that. But here's what they said. You need to understand that today we are under global change in climate. And if we don't do something about it, things could be catastrophe. Matter of fact, I heard one person in our official government say it's probably the worst mass destructive thing that's coming our way. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm not beating up on the weather people or not. This tells me the weather's going to get bad when Jesus comes back in his full fury to retake this land and how we've treated it. Second of all, this is my own opinion. It's pretty big stretch that you and I, as human beings, can save the earth if it's going downhill. You and I believe that God controls the weather. And for 4,000 years before Christ, he was sending his servants to tell them, be careful, my wrath is coming. Then he sent his son. And now for 2,000 years, the message is, be careful, I am coming. And when I come, I will come with fury. But we don't have to be under God's wrath if we're in Christ. The scripture tells us, and I'm going to read you a portion in this. This is powerful. Not only will the earth begin to display the warnings that Christ is coming, but the heavens will. We read about this in our study of Romans when it says the earth is groaning for the coming of Christ. And you and I are beginning to see in a powerful way. Humanity is absolutely saying something's changing. I want to tell you, God, in his grace, is helping us with warnings. There is something happening, but God is coming to rescue his people and the earth that he created. Let me read you this in Hebrews, and if Nathan, if you put Hebrews 1 up on the screen. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, servants, 4,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, really. At many times and in many various ways. And they killed him, beat him. Tradition tells us, Hebrews tells us, that one of his prophets was sawed in two. Tradition tells us that was probably Isaiah. Jeremiah, when he came to the message, they threw him in a cistern. They beat him, they killed him. And he's done it many times. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, the final word, and through whom he made the universe. Remember in Colossians, in our study when we had that, everything was made by Jesus and for Jesus. He's the final word. There is nothing else. You know, in John 10:10, it says this, I have come, Jesus speaking, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I've heard some preachers say, yeah, that means I can get things, nice houses, good cars. What an atrocity. What can I get that's abundant? Jesus himself is what I get. There is nothing better or anything else that I need. If I have Jesus, he will watch out for me. He will give me what I need. I need nothing else. Oh, praise his name. What a God we have. Hebrews, Nathan, did we lose the screen? Okay. Sorry about that, gang. While we're making improvements, we have some difficulties. But let me read you, and if you want to turn there, Hebrews 12. We're going to start in verse 25. Here's what it says. By the way, if you've ever read a book that talks about the greatness and the wonder of what Christ accomplished, Hebrews is a book you must read. But here's what it says towards the end of Hebrews. Verse 25, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. The final word is speaking. Do not refuse him. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, all the prophets, all the servants, how much less will we, well, these are sobering words, if we turn away from him, Jesus, who warns us from heaven. Christ in heaven came down, final word, to tell us. At that time, his voice shook the earth. Jesus is shaking the earth. But now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. When we see the heavens shaking, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. And it's coming. But we don't have to fear that, because in Christ, I'm not under the wrath. I'm under his goodness, his salvation. Oh, is that powerful? The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. If you and I are in Christ and resting in there, I cannot be shaken. We sang about that. Indicating the removing of the words that cannot be, what can be shaken, that is created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and worship God. That's what his intention was from the beginning. And he's provided a way for me to worship him in purity and holiness because of what Christ did. Let us be thankful, so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. It's not a message we like to hear all the time, because we like the fuzziness of God's love. And God's love is marvelous. But God is coming for payment due him for how we've treated him. And here we are, 2,000 years after they crucified the final word. And you and I are his witnesses. And the question is, what kind of witness am I? I don't always be this, but I know what I want to be. So I cry out to God, Lord, let me be a witness for you with boldness, grace, and love, so that every opportunity I have, I can share the good news of Jesus. I'll say it again. There is nothing better than Jesus. You believe that? And what he has in store for you and I, no eye have seen, no ear hath heard. It's beyond imagination. But it's coming. God is going to be shaking some things up, so that when he comes, he's going to make all things right, all things perfect. You know, I want to be a citizen that helps this world gain peace, but it ain't happening. This world will never see peace without Christ. The scriptures tell me that. Men cry for peace. We hear it on the news all the time. Peace, peace. But there is no peace. Why? Because their souls are at enmity with God. And they're under God's wrath. But it doesn't have to be. You and I have the message of the day. Jesus came and died for sinners so that we don't have to die. What a marvelous message that is. So that today, when we come to this table, those of us who are in Christ can rejoice over what this table means. It's a remembrance of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. When we partake of the bread, we are remembering the brutal beating that the Son took in coming to give the message of life. When we partake of the blood, we are reminded that this blood is sufficient. The Father God is satisfied that my sins are washed clean, perfect. Never again to bring them to my account. They're thrown in the deepest sea. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed my iniquities from me because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, wow, I don't deserve that. But I embrace that. And my encouragement to you today is to rejoice in the fact that Jesus is yours and you are his. What a marvelous gospel we have. If you're not here today, if you're here today and have never come to that place, I'm not sure about Jesus. I know he's a good person. He's done a lot of good things, but I don't know if I really need to have my sins paid for. I want to tell you what the Word of God says. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. You exist on this earth, but you do not have life, because life is in the one who gives life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by him. So come today. If you hear God speaking to your heart today, come, receive him by faith. Put all your dependence upon the work of what Jesus did. Don't depend on what you think you can do. you will remain under the wrath of God. And we politely excuse you from this. This supper is not for you. It's for all those of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the ushers to come up forward now. I want you to prepare your heart.